You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Axe to Grind. I'm Patrick.
I'm Tom.
I'm Bob.
I'm Bob. When I'm inside, we're in a car right now.
So Bob is stepped out of the vehicle. We're recording in the vehicle right now. Bob had a road
vehicle because road, Patrick talks like an alien.
road rage incident. He's outside the vehicle.
He just body slammed someone onto the pavement.
Well, you and I are going to do the intro.
Oh yeah, this is going to be rough.
How do you feel about it?
I'm feeling okay.
He kind of keeps us on task.
He does.
I float away
like
a little
bit. Like right now.
So let's do sponsors. Do you think we can do them without his aid?
We can do it.
You're very optimistic. All right. I'm going to do Closed Casket. Are you ready for that?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So, Closed Casket, a number of years ago, that's probably 2016, does that sound right? Or 2014? I don't even know. Put out the Incendiary Zabalba Split. Now, this, I was surprised to find that copies still exist of this. I have to imagine that they're down to the last few. This split turned so many people on to both bands.
Yeah.
It was, in my view, one of the last big splits that I'm aware of. And I, again, surprised that these copies exist. Go buy it. Because, Tom, strong material from both bands?
Absolutely.
And
songs they still play.
Songs they still play from a split. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Incendiary definitely plays one of their songs, and I believe Zabalba does, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is like, I think this introduced Zabalba to a wider audience in, you know, New York and East Coast, and I think it definitely helped Incendiary on the West Coast. And now they're like, those two bands are like buds for life too, which is cool. So,
Incendiary, they don't like when I low rate them and say that.
Shocking. Yeah. They don't like when I say they're not worth what I think they're worth.
But here's the gag: is I'm
you're
their
the cooler.
I'm their good luck charm.
Yes,
because every
you go, this is gonna suck, and they go, oh, cool, we just drew 1,000 people.
Right, and I get clowned every fucking time.
Yeah, when you start getting on their side, they're gonna
should be nervous.
Fuck.
Yes, no, for sure.
You're fucking William Macy.
For sure. So because they just did they just do a big West Coast show?
Yeah, they did too. They played well at the time you're hearing this, it's probably 2 months and before they did Shea Cafe.
Okay.
Sold out Shea. And then they...
Hold on, I'm going to be the cooler. I can sell out Shea. Come on.
Okay, that's
big,
cool.
Not a big
probably
space.
Not, yeah, right. And then they played at venue 1720 in downtown L.A. with Criminal Instinct, Eyes of the Lord, Vamakara, Gulch.
What?
Downpresser. Was that everybody? I'm sorry if I missed
you. That's a fucking good show.
Yeah, they did 1,000 kids.
Oh, well, yeah, so no really deal. I should just stick all the sentiment that I have into
yeah,
my
same
ass.
Night as Poison the Well. I drew Poison the Well, so no big deal. Whatever.
No big deal. Incendiary, one of the quietly very big bands in hardcore.
I don't know if it's quiet anymore.
Nah?
I feel the most like, known I band in hardcore, man.
Yeah, but I feel like they don't constantly self-promote, and so it feels lower key than
oh, they're
is.
Not going to be like another sold-out show. If they
that's
don't
what
do
I'm
that.
Saying. Yeah,
that's not their style.
So, but that... you know that there's many bands that do that.
100%. But Incendiary doesn't give a fuck because it's not their career.
Right. So, but that's what I think makes it seem low-key. Anyway, yeah. Continued fucking success to Incendiary, although I'm watching. So
yeah, when you go from 750 kids to 700, Patrick will point that out.
No, but honestly, I'm very happy that they continue to fucking kill.
They're best dudes.
And Zabalba, who doesn't play that much.
I think they're doing a new record.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to say that they don't play that much, but when they do, they also fucking kill.
They murder, yeah.
So, everybody, go check out that material. It is, I guess, classic for both bands now.
Yeah.
And definitely what turned a lot of people on. Tom, what do you got?
Well, you have to go to closecasketactivities.com.
I'm bad at this already.
You're going to put in the promo code.
Axe to Grind.
And you're going to?
Spell it out.
There you go. Jesus, you're really bad at
this. Yeah, no, I'm not. You'll notice structure is my failing.
Yeah, well, that's
I'm fine. An intuitive. I'm a Pisces.
Oh, God. Our newest sponsor, which we'd really like to thank, for, and we're very happy to have you on board, To Live a Lie Records, based out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm.
I love North Carolina.
I like South Carolina, but I'll take it.
I prefer North Carolina. So the newest record that they have out, which I checked out before, they were a sponsor, and I was stoked on it, a record called Indoctrination by Escuela Grind.
I was at a show that they played. I was having a conversation with the other band that was playing during their set, but Through the Wall sounded cool.
It's the shittiest way to Through the Wall, it sounded all right. Yeah.
Well, here's what I'll say. People in Albany were very actually excited for this band.
Yes. I don't know exactly. They might be from Albany, you think?
I think they might be regional, like or like semi-local.
Oh, really?
I think.
And they just put out, hold on, let me pull up this video, because the video is amazing. Hold on, vamp for me.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I think they're like on the like social justice grind, and I know that's like probably a turnoff for some of our listeners, but here's what I think is interesting. Grind 20 years ago was like not terribly woke.
Yeah.
It was where a lot of fucking people with weird sentiments arrived. So I was kind of, you know, granted I'm not the most up on grind, but I thought it was interesting that they had like a very strong
100%
political message coming right out the gate in a world that, again, there's been plenty of political grind bands, but the ones that were popping when I think of the golden age of grind were not.
No, no. You know? Well, so they just put out a video. Which you might actually like this. It's three songs in one video.
Oh, I do like that.
It's three songs, three minutes and 38 seconds. So their debut LP, Indoctrination, out on To Live a Lie. The vinyl comes out on Friday, March 20th. Presale starts, will have started already, on February 14th, if you want to buy yourself your partner a nice Valentine's Day gift. They have merch bundles.
Or your potential partner, somebody that you're trying to impress.
That's true.
Send some roses and this grind record.
Well, it says special thanks to Trauma and AS220, so maybe they're a Providence band.
Oh, that might be.
We sound like we're 99 years old.
Well, it's just...
I don't know geography of where people are, and I'm okay with it. I don't care. Wherever you are, I hope you're happy.
Yeah, I can't say that.
You know what I mean? Like, I hope it's cool. Yeah, but this stuff is really cool. Very power violence-y. And To Live a Lie, like, the records I've checked out so far, all of them are sort of different, and I kind of really appreciate that. They're not very pigeonholed into, like, certain sounds and stuff. And I think there's a lot of stuff on there that you would definitely vibe with.
Do you know what I need?
What do you need?
So the To Live a Lie material that I think is going to connect with me is... I like when the purpose of it is being extreme. Then I can like ride with it. You know what I mean? Like, so even if something isn't my sound, if it's like, remember when Nails came out and it was sort of like, oh, for a hardcore kid, this is the limit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it was kind of fun, right? Because like even some people like Nails, some people didn't like Nails, but most people would say, well, this is as far as I go, and that's fun.
Right. Right. Right.
So.
This is my nth.
Yeah, this exactly.
The nth degree, yeah.
And I like the nth. I'm trying to think of what that would be for me personally. Probably something more, maybe a little techier than that. You know what I mean? Because I like Carbomb, for example, is one of those bands that we talk about sometimes. That I go, everybody goes, you like Carbomb? And I do, because it's like that's as far as it goes.
Do you mess with any of that, like? Purient or like Author Punisher?
Author Punisher, I like the, for lack of a better word, I like the gimmick.
Like, I feel like that's my, I can't get into it. Well, that's beyond my purview.
Yeah.
I like fast hardcore, and this is, you know, like,
So yeah. You like fast hardcore, so you can go one step beyond into grind, into power violence.
Yes, but I prefer power violence because it feels more hardcore to me in punk.
Yeah, I feel that.
You know, so you go to livealie.com.
That's correct.
What would you do?
You put in a promo code.
What's that promo code?
It's Axe to Grind.
Okay, and then what do you want to do with that?
Spell it out.
There you go.
Yo, we should have played much more incompetent than that.
We did okay.
No, but we should have been like oh, where's
Bob?
Yeah. What do you do with the thing?
And then you put it in the, what do you just say it? Is this some kind of...
You speak into your disk drive.
Is there some kind of code that you like, you do the thing and then you scan it?
I was in a business the other day that I didn't get to ask if it was a gag or not. They had floppy disks.
What?
Yeah.
Like the little 3.5s or the big bad
No,
boys?
3.5s. If it was the big ones, it's obviously a gimmick. But right. The 3.5s, I was thinking, damn, maybe they're just...
They're just keeping it real?
Yeah, keeping it
real. They have like an old database that they can't
yes.
get rid of.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I used to have the old ones too. The big old fucking, big old floppies.
That was kind of, I don't know if, yeah, I guess I had one computer that had the floppies.
Yeah, but then, yeah, and then they went like, oh, you just like pop this thing in and then now drives don't even, no, computers don't even have
what
CD
is a drive?
Anymore.
Yeah. Oh right? No, you just look ancient if you got a drive.
It's true.
What is our talk today?
Today we, Bob wanted to do, getting to know you. But he has the question.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you want? What do you and I want to vamp about? What do you want to bullshit about? What do you got in your life right now?
Not a whole lot.
No.
This.
You excited about sports?
Yeah. I like when baseball starts because I know the weather's getting better.
Do you get complimented on your eyelashes?
No.
Really?
Do I have nice eyelashes?
Yeah, you do. I'm looking at them from the side.
Thank you.
And you got long eyelashes.
Thanks.
That's nice.
They're mink.
Well, now I can't back that.
They're vegan mink. I went to a place. No, I don't get complimented on that.
What would you say you do get complimented on most?
Physically or?
Yeah, anything. Actually, anything.
Humor?
Humor?
I'd probably go humor, intelligence, eyes.
You do have nice eyes.
Thank you.
So that must mean your humor is really off the charts.
Maybe. I'm pretty funny.
You are pretty funny.
I'm pretty funny.
You know what I think? I think you're kind of low rated on the funny.
You think so? I'm underrated.
I think you're underrated. Because I'm louder, so people, I think, like go, oh, he's the color commentator funny guy.
Right.
But you have more sneak disses and quick replies than I'm not very quick.
People, and like, I'll get like texts and like DMs and be like, yo, when you said blah, 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 he's like, nope, but like, I'll say something and like, it'll be like a fastball and no one catches it.
Yes.
But like you and Bob are talking, I'm like, oh, no one even's gonna, I'm not even gonna get a fucking pop for that. But then people are like, dude, that was fucking amazing. And I'm like, they're like, how did they not catch that? I'm like, I don't know. Because we're all talking.
No, but
we're all white guys podcasting.
Who do you think is the fastest?
Fastest talker or fastest fastball?
Not fastest literal fastball, but fastest.
Like wit?
Reply guy, yeah.
Me.
No, not in this vehicle, but in life. Do you know who I think is so underrated?
Who?
Artie Lang, I think, is unbelievably quick.
I'm Bob.
Oh, yeah. We know we covered
we did
you.
Your
we
intro,
did like, I did one impression of your voice. He did another.
Good, good.
We talked about To Live a Lie. We talked about Close Casket.
Shout out to all our sponsors, including Death Wish and Run for Cover 2.
Oh, we forgot that part.
Yeah, we almost did so great.
It's okay.
Pat had was like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? I was like, we got this, man.
You got it.
We got, like... 75% of the way.
Did you remember what my unique accent thing was?
No.
Okay.
Let me reach out to those people right now while we're podcasting.
Sure.
So we talked about, I brought up a Squirrel Grind.
Oh, excellent, yeah.
Yeah, did you see the video that they did?
I did not.
It's three songs and a video. It's really good. It's really good. It's like a home shopping network kind of thing.
Ooh. I like that.
Where the singer like sells like weapons. It's pretty great.
Okay, I'm with that too.
And
cool.
You cut some guy's arm off with a swordfish.
Yo,
we had
a lot of
pro weapon talk today. It's interesting.
Yeah,
we're getting in weapons.
Second Amendment.
Weapons
podcast?
To grind.
Is that what's going on?
2A, bro.
Axe to weapon. So wait, what else? What else did I miss? Anything good?
He talked about my eyelashes. He asked me what I got complimented most about.
I get complimented on my eyelashes quite a bit.
Let me see from the side. Oh yeah, no, you're good.
And they've been singed off several times. So, you know,
at a barbecue action.
You know, like doing the dumbest stuff, burning dumb stuff.
I want to. Yeah, and then we talked about what we got complimented about, and he asked if I was psyched on what I have in my life. And I was like,
"Oh, this is interesting."
Working,
you guys are going deep. Good.
He was like, "What do you? What was the plan?" I'm like, "Well, we're going to do getting to know you, but Bob has questions."
I do.
So we're talking about baseball a little bit, and I was like, "I like when baseball comes around because then you know, like the seasons are changing and stuff is going to."
That's a good point.
Mets are going to be terrible, probably. Who knows?
Is that true? No,
they have a good team, but I feel like I'd rather be like, "This is going to suck." And then they go, you know, 88 and 74. I go, this is pretty good.
Last year was a nice little run in the middle of the season, right?
I mean, they went 86 and 76. Not terrible.
No.
Not terrible. But, like, I like to set expectations incredibly low. So when things are good, I'm, like, even that much more happy.
Have we talked about the band that Drug Church is at right now with Thrice? The drummer is super baseball.
Oh, wow.
He's in Puig Destroyer.
He's in Puig Destroyer.
Oh.
And
Yasiel Puig.
On tour... A lot of the press that he gets is baseball podcasts.
That
want to talk to him.
Ready to play today.
He's like deep in it. And actually, when we played, shout out to Paul DC, from the Northwest, I wanted to hook these two people up because Paul is the hot stove king. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, he is...
Has a Twitter account solely for following baseball stuff.
He's tweeted 3 times in 10 years, and all he does is follow baseball.
So do you know about the Baseball Project, Tom?
Dudes
from REM's baseball band, who you can go see at, like, 300 caps, play to half full rooms.
Yes, vaguely.
It's cool.
Yes.
And because they're super baseball heads. All right, last baseball question before we get into different deep stuff. Do you... find yourself like, do you have a mistress team? Like, the Mets aren't aren't doing great. Do you have a team you kind of like side eye a little bit? Yeah.
Yes, I have two.
Okay.
The Cubs.
Okay. Oh yeah, nice.
And the Mariners.
Ooh. What? Why? Why those two?
So the Cubs because I when we were out there for Burning Fight,
we went to
a Cubs game, and
field roast sausages.
Yeah, Wrigley was dope. Mm-hmm. All the like the ushers and stuff, like our at least in our section, were like all like probably 65 to 75-year-old women who like were talking. This is before they took off, so this is 2009,
right?
But they're talking about like Mike Fontenot's got to sit down, and this guy, and like they knew everything, and it was awesome, and they were very very sweet. And we ended up buying 4 seats, 2 of which were real and 2 of which were fake. They let us all sit together, which was cool because not everybody was there. And the same thing in Seattle. Michelle, my friend Hill, and I went out to Seattle for the Unbroken Undertow show, and we went to a Mariners game. I happened to see Ken Griffey's last game as Mariner.
So cool. Straight up, so cool.
And I think Felix Hernandez was going for 20th win, maybe.
King Felix.
And it was awesome. It was just like, all right. And I love Seattle. So, like, I love the people there. So, I hope all good things happen to them.
Love that.
Yeah. What about you?
Me? Well, I'm a Rockies fan because they.
Yeah.
And I was, and it's so cool to be like, oh, I was a day one fan, pre day one. You know what I mean?
When did they start? 94?
92. 93 was the first season. But before that, I liked baseball and I was more of a Mets fan than anything else.
Welcome.
I enjoy Mets. You know why? Cool logo. 2, lived upstate. 3, the Yankees were dog shit.
Yes.
And I did like the Yankees, too, because I got to see the AC Yanks. Enjoyed
yes,
it.
Respect.
Got to see Bernie. Got to see Dion. Nice.
What's AC?
Albany Colony.
Albany Colony Yankees. Free tickets constantly because my father worked on the same road that the field was on out there. So off Wolf Road, past the airport. So you go, what's the road from Wolf Road that goes, I guess it's Albany Shaker. Yeah. Yep. Worked out there. So free tickets all the time. It was cool. Good raspberry fields over there, actually, too. Wild raspberries.
Wow.
Fields, yeah.
Tom.
So root for the Mets, and then also like the Yankees. So
Tom,
which means I'm a bad New York
but that's
area
okay.
baseball
because yeah,
they're not my number one.
Yeah. Right. They're 2 and 3. It doesn't matter.
Tom, how many minor league games have you been to?
Probably like 4 or 5.
Okay.
Fun.
As an adult or as a kid?
Adult.
Okay.
I didn't go to any as a kid.
Okay.
Because they didn't exist in Brooklyn or in Staten Island when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was all like out, you know, like I'm not going to fucking Pittsfield.
Or Binghamton or Utica or Oneonta.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
I've been to Yankees and Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to one, the Patriots.
Oh, Somerset. Yeah.
Yes, it was really cool. Super nice.
Independent league.
Yeah.
So the AC Yankees, and I'm sure this is the case for every fucking minor league game in the United States. Kids who don't watch the game.
Yes.
Post up behind the bleachers, yes, waiting for to catch foul balls.
Yes.
It is very fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun. Lots of breakout baseball games being played by children there.
Yes.
Often seemed like that was more of an attraction than the game.
Yes.
How many games did I go to? I don't know. A lot.
I probably only went to like 10. But
yeah. I mean, that maybe that's the number. But when you're a kid, that feels like a lot. Sure. It feels like I'm at every game at that point. I have a saved eBay search for AC Yankees hat.
Wow.
With the AC.
Yeah, yeah.
So nice. On April 3rd and 4th, we could go to United Blood. I think you're home. We could go to United Blood. Or if you want to stay local, we can go see the Patroons play.
Fuck.
At the Armory.
Fuck.
Against Tampa on Friday.
God.
And the Gulf Coast team on Saturday.
I'm very open to those.
Andrew and Hans have already gone. Went to the opener.
What's Patroons?
The Albany Patroons are the former CBA basketball team.
They've survived every iteation.
I think it's the ABL now. It's like they were CBA, then IBL, then ABA, like all these different fake minor league teams.
Right, right.
And yeah,
what's that
Will
Ferrell movie?
Oh, the movie? Florida
old school. No.
No.
When
he plays on the basketball team, but it's the same thing. It's like minor league basketball.
It's the Florida Tropics. Yeah, it's fuck. I don't know if I've even seen it.
So here's the thing. The Patroons had a minor legacy.
Yeah. Phil Jackson, head coach.
Yep.
George Karl, head coach.
And
Michael Ray Richardson.
Yes.
Head coach, player coach, maybe.
And as a result, they survive all of these league shakeups, league dissolves. Well, the Patroons' name doesn't belong to the league. Let's shift it over. Whatever.
Tom, my favorite sports teams: Denver Broncos.
Yep, do that.
Semi-pro is the name of the basketball.
That's
game. Sorry.
Denver Broncos.
Sure.
The Albany Patroons might be my second favorite professional sports team.
Yes.
Toronto Argonauts are in my top five. So there we go.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. Go Rocket, Ishmael.
Wow.
Today's this is a good preamble rambler because today's episode is getting to know you. We did something like this on a Patreon episode, went over well, so we're bringing it over here. I'm going to talk to you guys, and I guess I'll answer the questions a little bit too, but they're mostly for you two to let the audience get to know you both a little better. You ready?
Yep.
I'm scared. It's vulnerable.
You are. It is. Okay.
All right. What if they don't like the real me?
Hello, me. It's me again.
Okay. Let's get into questions. If you guys feel like inserting a question in here of any sort, you'll get the flavor. It's a mixed bag, but if you feel like asking a question, please do. Were you both users of AOL Instant Messenger, a.k.a. AIM?
Yes.
Yes. You?
Number one, yes. One, who's someone you spoke to on AIM frequently who you lost touch with when it became outdated?
Singer from Rise Against.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were buddies. I mean, I still see him in person, but like, we
you would
like
talk
bullshit.
And chat.
Yeah.
Okay.
I honestly don't know. I'm sorry, I can't answer this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. My AIM experience is like, it definitely existed, and I definitely used it. I don't recall who I talked to.
I went through I moved out of my house when I was 19, which meant I didn't have a computer from like 2001 to 2003.
Wow.
So I only used a computer when I was at work to like check my email once in a while and whatever, which was, it was actually quite nice. But before that, I had AIM. I had a lot of friends. I would say the people I missed the most, I was very good friends with John Devlin, who became a real life good friend, but we used to talk on AIM all the time. So shout out to John Devlin, guy who was in
Down in Flames,
and then he was in Tear It Up, and who I still talk to once in a while.
Very cool.
All right. You got nothing?
I got nothing.
Did you ever go on a date off of AIM?
I think that the only... That is sad.
Here we go.
I think the only date that I ever organized off of AIM canceled on me.
Oh. Did you ever talk to someone you had never met before on AIM?
Oh, yes. I'm sure of it.
Yes. Tom?
Yes.
Okay. I once had a conversation with someone, and I had to be 15, maybe 16. Some girl, I think I was being catfished. Then she called me, and we talked on the phone for a while. And then I got the vibe that it was like, oh, this girl's a little weird.
Yeah, this is a fraud.
Yeah, and I got the... I think I might have changed my screen name after that.
Yeah,
it's too weird. All right.
Wait a second. Have we talked about this? What is the best looking you've ever thought you've been in your life?
Ooh,
like, are you in your golden era now, or do you think you're in decline right now?
No, I'm all right right now, but if I lost 25 and tightened up, I'd be in a nice space because I think I hit my prime 2004-5 in California.
Okay.
Living in California, life's pretty good. Maybe six. Got stuff going on, busy all the time. But I've gained a little bit of weight post high school, like, because I was very, very thin and started to fill out a little bit. But I hadn't gained adult weight. Like, I sit at a cubicle all day, yeah. Weight. So probably then, and my hair was just a touch fuller. But I'm doing all right now. I'm aging gracefully. Thank God for not doing drugs.
Yeah.
All right. True.
Goes a long way.
Tom.
That's a tough question. I'm very self-loathing, so I'd probably say never, but probably maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. I lost a bunch of weight and
felt good.
I felt good.
I think you might be right. Like, right now, you look really good. Like, you look, like, pretty fucking... What's the word that we use? Like,
Suave? Dapper?
No.
Rugged?
Not rugged.
Like, smooth.
Someone call me...
You look like the Dos Equis. You look like the Dos Equis guy.
Oh, yeah. The most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you got that kind of vibe right now?
You have good hair almost all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
All right.
The only time I think I've seen you with bad hair is when it's outrageously bad, like you wake up in the morning and it was like standing straight up.
Oh, yeah.
But you corrected it momentarily.
Yeah, or if I'm wearing a hat the whole day, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I feel like we're lucky because men get better looking at... Like, I see pictures now, I go, what was I doing?
Yeah.
I was like an ugly 23-year-old or something, or a 21, you know what I mean? Or like,
hideous,
I see these old indecision pictures. I'm like, what the fuck? I have a Caesar. No facial hair looks fucking terrible.
Caesar, yes!
Hair-wise, I think I've done pretty well most of my time because I've kept it pretty simple.
Yeah.
Sometimes when it's grown out a little longer, that's like opinions may vary. You know, mileage may vary. What about you, PK? I think you're in a good space right now.
Yeah.
I think...
When you get your hair nice and trim... Looking sharp.
Yeah.
And you actually are looking good. You have put on visible weight now.
Thank you.
So good job.
This might...
That's the only time... You can say that to maybe 3% of the world's population.
Yeah.
Just put some weight on. Because everyone else would be like, fuck you.
Dude, and it's such a... It's a weird conversation to have, but like when you are a very thin person, it's very different than being someone who's a little heavy set, right? But when somebody's very thin, they get weirdly self-conscious about it, too.
Oh, if you got bug body?
Yeah.
If you got bug body, you're weird about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what, though? No one's looking at you weird. If you're fat,
when I was in high school, I had people who were like, yo, he's too skinny. Yeah, like because you can get so skinny. But it's not the same. And don't let me make a false equivalency.
Yeah,
it's not the same to being heavier.
No.
But you can get, when you're that skinny, it almost is like, how the fuck do I gain weight?
Sure, it's frustrating, right. But let me offer a...
It's easier to gain weight than lose.
Let me offer an idea here.
Who's pulling in here?
I don't know. Somebody that doesn't understand spatial relationships at all.
Yeah, they're really close. That's the rule of them all, guys.
There's an entire...
it might be.
...parking lot. So, is this a gang thing? Are we...
I don't know.
Do you want me to get out and be like, dude...
I mean, I really don't want them to hit my car.
No, they could choose any other place in this lot.
I mean, there's literally, 50 other spots.
All right, this is it. I'm going to kill them.
It's gone.
Okay, good. Thank God.
They heard that, and that was...
So. I'm sorry, what the fuck are we talking about?
Bug body.
Oh, no, here's what I'll say, though. If you are my age and too thin, you look unwell, and that's a turnoff.
It could be methy.
Yeah, it could be methy, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the thing.
Or you can be fat and be like, oh, you're going to have a heart attack. So
I'd
rather be methy than be like, you're on your last legs.
No,
but it's rough when people think you're going to rob them. You know what I mean? Like... It's not like...
Yeah, but how rough is it that someone's going to have to try to carry you up a flight of stairs?
Yeah, okay, that's fair, too.
When you had longer hair, I never thought it was a bad look for you.
I did.
Well, in hindsight now.
Yeah, but quite bad.
But it was funny because now I see it and it made your head look like a different shape.
It was a little stupid shape, yeah.
Yeah, like small head.
Yeah, small head.
And you don't have a small head. You got a normal size head.
Your friend, small head.
Small head, big mouth.
So I think you're in your best space now. You dress pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a couple years ago I looked pretty good. Not a couple years, like five.
Okay.
I looked pretty good.
Yo, California living.
Yeah.
I know, man.
It'll straighten you out.
You get outside a lot.
Outside a lot. Glow. Have you guys heard about this butthole regeneration?
No, let's talk about it.
You put your butt in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
What is that all about?
I thought you meant your butthole was fucked up and they like...
No.
You're supposed to get some sunlight on there and it's like... Perennial.
Is that true? Has anybody looked into this, or is this just a meme?
No, but I've heard it's like if you do 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
I mean, you're going to get a fucking fried butthole.
Yeah.
I mean,
depends on how strong the sun is that day.
I think any dude any? That's not seeing the light of day.
Yeah, with our Mediterranean complexions over here. Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I have read that article. But I mean, apparently, like, you know, think about all the other stuff if it goes through your butthole.
Yeah, it's a direct line. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
True. All right, I'm with that. All right, number two of my questions.
Oh,
that was a good question.
Yeah, it was.
Can you think of a time where you felt completely broken, emotionally crushed?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to share?
No.
Okay. Losing a family member?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty bad. Any times that, let's say this, not completely broken emotionally that you recovered from and that you, that not like something that you'd never get back. You know what I mean? Like something where it was like, you felt that way, but then as you're able to look at it in the scope of time, it was really bad, but you were able to come away from it.
Yes.
Okay. Got that story?
Yeah, I mean,
you can get vague.
Bad breakup. You know what I mean? Someone that I thought was like, this is it, and then it wasn't. Mm. Like, this is a couple years ago.
Sure.
So it's a reason.
I don't want to sound discouraging to our listeners that might wrestle with depression, but I tend to think, given the experience that I've now had as a 500-year-old man, that your natural disposition is a key factor for your entire life.
Of course.
So what I mean to say by that is, I don't think that I've been crushed beyond repair, recognition, whatever the question,
whatever
the question was, because on my worst days I still sleep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like some of the problems that people have, I just don't have, and I don't think that's because I don't have problems. I think that there's just so much to be said for your natural disposition. Like genetically, you know what I mean? Like truly, like, and that's
so you're saying on genetic shit. Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I don't mean to say.
Because I was going
to
say, do you think people can switch that?
That's why
you don't think that.
Wow. I think people that, like, don't get me wrong. If you've got a major depression, obviously you can take SSRIs, you can fucking do cognitive therapy, you can do a lot of shit to ameliorate that situation. But I think that many people have an orientation and that some people operate happier than others naturally. Is that fair?
I mean, I lean heavily into this belief set myself, but I do think there, like, I think it's almost a damned if you do or damned if you don't on what you say on this. I think you can opt in for that, but there certainly are people who have a much harder time to opt into having a happier disposition.
Oh, you can always change your situation enough
to
make you feel a little bit better.
Right, yeah. But,
or a little bit worse.
But I think there are people who wake up fucking day one birth, you know, from birth, and are having a harder day than everybody else.
That, exactly.
Then not everybody else, but then other people.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to say is I've had some really fucking bad days, but as far as like I would feel out of pocket claiming that I've personally felt crushed per se.
Do you think you've ever felt a feeling where you're like, fuck, I'm
How about
you've ever felt you a did, feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. Stop.
You ever
there.
Felt a feeling? Have you ever felt as if something hit you so deeply that you were not going to be able to recover from it?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Number three, and feel free to jump in. Is there any music you don't or can't listen to because it brings you to a weird place emotionally? And that's a weird place. It doesn't have to be a sad one. It can be. It doesn't have to be a mad one. It can be. But music that you, at this point in your life, you avoid it because it brings you to a weird place.
Yeah, I liked the. I've talked about this. I liked the second Trail of Dead record, and it brings. If I listen to it now, it brings me to seeing them live, which was so terrible. I don't like to think about it.
Mm.
Probably some Pedro the Lion songs that tie into the second
the
question.
The second question,
yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I am trying to think. I think there's been times in my life where it had, and maybe there still is. There's some. There's some that make me think of my father and that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's not even, like, I don't avoid that. I listen to it, but it brings me to a weird place. I'm, like, kind of all right with it. But it can get, it's funny the association you can have with different music.
And, oh, for sure.
There's none that I actively currently avoid, but there's been times in my life where I have. All right. Biggest irrational irritation, something you know shouldn't get you, but it gets you. Irrational irritation.
Jewel pods make me want to shatter the windshield of whatever vehicle I'm walking by.
Doesn't. Not even irrational. I think that's
irrational. No, it's pretty
irrational.
Irrational, okay.
People that say stuff wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Like I had a boss that would say, for all intensive purposes.
Oh.
Where like...
That's one so many of us grew up with, though. That's tough.
Well, no. But there was also all of the sudden.
Oh,
all
well, of that the sucks sudden. Dick. What are you
Some
talking
about? Some
of that
stuff
about?
Is really
like,
rough.
Like, I had an ex that said, library.
Oh, what?
And Valentine's. Wonderful girl.
Yeah.
Still friendly with her to this day. Said Valentine's
I don't like
and
this.
Library.
Yeah, I'm a, and I, was, you got
I was
me
like,
there now.
We could get married.
Except,
but
except
for you this. Just say this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now I...
So that's probably rational.
I've got,
go,
I've got
what
my
the
answer.
Fuck? I also hate misspellers.
Oh, that one. I'm that guy. Irrational shit. Okay, if Jewel Pods don't count...
Tide Pods.
Tide Pods. Damn. Irrational. I've got a bandmate that drinks water as soon as he wakes up, and I want to slap it out of his fucking hand.
Oh, just grabs it?
Yep.
That is irrational.
The moment, he wakes up.
Wow.
Pisses me off so fucking bad.
I don't think that's... You haven't drank in probably 8 hours.
I can't drink anything until an hour after I wake up. My stomach doesn't want that bullshit. So the idea that you're waking up and you... What, you run a marathon while you're asleep?
I mean...
I think it's all. Head. I think it's through the rest of it.
I also,
he maybe wasn't getting enough liquid later on. Yeah.
You know what? I've just been going since I've been in a van with people for fucking 3 weeks. Let me just keep going.
Yeah.
I hate anyone that needs anything. So, like, for example, if you need coffee, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
If you whatever it is, fuck you. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you can't want it. You know what I mean? Like, I want something every day when
parse
I wake
that.
Up. Like,
parse that. Yeah.
Like, but what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like how badly do you need? Oh, your inability to get a coffee is going to impact my day. What
that,
are you, a fucking
that,
baby?
Okay,
coffee?
So that to me, it's not. It's that they think they need it and have now assessed that and say, "Oh, I need coffee. I need this first." Mm. That like the fucking.
But first, coffee.
Yeah, the Kathy. I need ack. Coffee. Ack. Right. Yes. Ack. Thank you. That notion does drive me. Up a wall. I'm pretty rough about. Okay, when you go in someone's house, you should do your best to follow
the rules
of the house.
Sure.
And then, like, sometimes that's not rules, but like if you do dishes the way you do them at your house, but you see this person doing dishes at their house that way, a different way, you should do your best to do it the way they do it. Because who cares? Like, that's just do the thing they want.
What if they're
the
weird?
Way if they're weird, you got to go at their house.
You got to go with the flow.
You got to go with their flow.
Because
at your house, you want them to do it your way, which, you know, may or
See,
may
I don't
not
know
be
if
the
that's
right
true.
Way.
Because
I would
so
rather.
We have people, you know, when you guys are over and if Pat uses a dish and he washes it his own way, I'm just impressed of the courtesy that he washes his own dish.
I'm with that. But I'm thinking more like, yeah, if they're going to wash a singular dish, they're taking care of the business, I don't really care.
Right.
But it's like a... if the, it's like a dinner situation.
Right, I cook, you clean up.
They're doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I, to be honest, if I have a guest over, I don't want them doing any of that shit. Not on some like, no, you're the guest. But right. Just like, yo, just fucking.
Yeah, there's a way out.
Let me do my business. That kind of little things like that kind of make me.
Sure.
Because it's the same thing. When you walk into somebody's house, if they don't like people with shoes on, fucking take your shoes off. If they don't care, then don't care. I know. I wear my shoes in my house most of the time. I don't care if people wear their shoes in my house.
Right.
But when I go to when I go to somebody's house who. Everybody takes off their shoes. Yep, totally.
Oh no, I would never be like, man, fuck you, I'm keeping my shoes on.
Fuck your
but
couch.
I forget someone's house I went to recently. I'm like, is it cool if I leave my shoes on? They're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, then it's
Okay. Number five. Give me your end of the world, pandemic, the bombs are dropping plan. What are you doing?
So I'm gonna die.
You have a get out
die.
No, you have a get out plan. What's your bail plan?
Okay, so I guess I'm going to need firearms and some medicine. I would be big on anti-lice medication because I don't want lice for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? Like, get scabies in a post-apocalypse.
You're done.
It sucks.
Post-apocalypse?
And to everybody who...
Weird fascist.
Showing buffalo.
So, like, look, I like cosmetic surgery and shit. I think that shit's sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's certain shit that's like a liability once the fucking bombs are in the air. You know what I mean? Like, if you have...
It's the only reason I consider LASIK.
There you go.
The only reason.
So, like...
I think about instead getting, like, six pairs of glasses and just...
positioned everywhere.
Well, no, just having, a kitty of them. Because in the post-apocalypse, I'm not dying. I'm going to need these six pairs of glasses. This is all I got.
Right. And I'm not trying to make people anxious about their breast augmentation, but, like, you need to have that shit, like, checked up every 10 years, every 12 years, right? And, like... What happens if there's no doctors anymore? You know what I mean? That just sucks.
Well, and if there are, this is low on the priority list.
Yeah, that's a fact. So shit like that. Also, the teeth, what's the one they're called? The veneers?
Veneers.
So they got to shave your natural teeth down to get the veneers up in there. But if you break a veneer, what's going to happen now? You got little baby teeth? That's not good.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of bad teeth in the post-op.
That's a fact, yeah.
So I'm not that worried.
I see the road.
Okay, so you're getting medicines and you're getting firearms.
Just, I'm not going crazy on the firearms, just enough to, like, because, look, I'm not fighting a war here. If I'm getting overrun by 50 dudes, it is what it is.
This is a benefit to living in Albany. You have a place, you can scoot out pretty quick. One, you're not getting bombed.
Or
two,
I could take over the armory.
The armory's going to be a stronghold
exactly.
during the post-apocalypse.
Exactly.
That's a good point. So, Tom, what's your plan?
My get out plan?
Yeah. Where are you going? Where are you going? How are you doing it? You grabbing people? You got allies?
Yeah, my whole family.
Okay. Are they a liability?
Yes, but okay. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's okay.
If I have to die with them, that's fine.
That's fine. For those I love, yeah, did that.
Seriously.
That's nice because I'm foregoing the family.
Really?
Andrew, good ally. Strong firearms.
Yeah, he loves firearms.
Can carry his own weight.
I don't trust him, though.
He will turn on you.
Exactly.
At this point, my only dead weight who's coming is my son, and he's going to have to learn the way.
Yeah.
Like Amanda can carry her own weight. She's good. But then Easton will have to start carrying his own weight too.
Fair. Okay.
But I understand. Family. I love you, Mom. I love you, sister, and people. You guys got to figure yourself out. I'll give you coordinates and we'll go from there.
Damn. Wow, that's cold.
In the end time.
If they make it, we're good.
What's a divorce in the end time? Do you just give your partner like, here's...
go bag.
Here's,
that's it.
Here's a handgun. I wish you the best.
Handguns if things are civil.
Never going to see you again.
If things are civil, handbag. If they aren't, you just disappear in the night. Right? You take your stuff, you leave their stuff.
You know...
But if it's your handgun, you take the handgun.
Never had shit so bad with somebody that I never wanted to see them again, but I guess in the post-apocalypse, it is...
What do you keep saying?
I like it. It's good.
Post-apocalypse.
Because we're creating a new scenario. This is in the future.
It
sometimes
like getting, like,
sometimes words evolve.
Yeah.
Sometimes
exactly.
words evolve. You know,
it's the apocalypse.
Chicago.
So, what I'm saying is, it is. But I don't know what I'm saying.
The breakup. Post-apocalypse.
Oh yeah,
breakups.
Yeah. Like, but what if it really is? I'm never seeing your ass anymore.
So let's think about your last breakup happens in the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Things are fine
because that's a woman I really like. She can
really like you. Leave her a handgun.
Leave her a handgun, I'd say,
and some supplies. Do you? But can you be in the same settlement?
It's
can you
tough.
Guys be on the same
tough.
Road? I don't think so.
I think we can because if the alternative is you're going to be murdered on the road,
yeah, you'd rather not be.
Yeah.
What point do you split the partner when you feel as though she is in a safe place?
Yeah, when she's got a new tribe around her and she
okay,
can,
and she's in a good space.
Like, yeah.
So maybe we should be looking at relationships in a post-apocalyptic way, just in general.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, Tom, we interrupted. So you're getting your family, but they're in Jersey mostly.
They're all in Jersey. Same
okay.
town.
Okay. Okay. Well, the same town. That's good.
Yes. So I'd probably get
where do you go from there though? Because you're not staying in Jersey. Too many people.
Yeah.
Too close to dead zones.
Yeah. Maybe go down to the Pine Barrens.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good option.
I was going to say like go to like the desert, but like that's not hospitable.
So that's Grapes of Wrath migration.
My mom's 82. It ain't working. You know what I mean?
Okay. Pine Barrens is a great option actually.
So it's kind of like, you know,
get down there in a day, keep good supplies, doesn't take a lot of gas.
Many a criminal has evaded law enforcement by hanging out there. So
right. In the Pineys, yeah.
Maybe go to fucking like Ocean Grove if it happens during any time but the summer, no one's there. Yeah. Break into a house on the ocean, set up, have a fucking
try to ally. You have enough homies down there, you guys could have a little camp, okay? Yep.
Enough big houses that we could be like everyone's together.
Yep.
Facing the ocean.
Bridges cut off except for the one people stationed.
It's true.
I could disappear into the Adirondacks tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going Berkshires.
Okay.
Because less populated. Adirondacks is pretty sparse too.
There is a very specific meme about we've talked about campers that disappearing?
Yes.
Okay. There's a very specific meme to it that I think is very funny and I'm going to show it to you. You don't need to describe it.
Okay.
Or you can.
Okay.
But
we'll see. We'll judge it.
Yeah. So check out this particular meme, which is everybody. It is about the 23-year-old
hiker. Where is he? Search for him called off after 2 days due to extreme weather. Went missing despite being extremely prepared and experienced. National Park Service refuses to speak about his case. Missing since 2014. Still missing. His clothes were found neatly folded on top of a boulder in 2016. Where is he?
So everybody, this is hyper-specific for people that are into camping in national parks
yes.
and also are aware of this conspiracy that the National Park Service is hiding something about disappearances. How fucking specific is that mean?
Very, very specific. Very specific. All right. Have the bail plan tight. Got to get supplies. In 2020, there are a lot of firearms in the U.S. Got to get yourself some firearms.
Got to get yourself some firearms.
Got to do it, unfortunately. All right. This one's a little different than an earlier question, but what was your personal worst day of school that you can remember? Worst day of school. So it could be any age of school, but the worst day.
Goddamn.
Not the saddest day.
You know what?
The worst day.
I was going, well, the saddest day is a good start because I was going to say, because this is a hardcore podcast, I am going to try to find a way to weave hardcore into the answer.
Of course. Good, please.
But this one makes it virtually impossible.
It's okay. It's non-core. We'll get some more Corey stuff.
Worst day of school. I never shit myself, I don't think.
No.
What
percentage of people do you think have shit themselves at school?
30%.
Wow.
I think it's a little less, but I was going to say 20.
I used to be a constipated kid.
It might be 30, and it's 20 that people know about.
I used to use my heel to force the poo back in.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I turtled. That was the closest I got.
Okay.
I was able to get to the bathroom quick enough. Tom is shaking his head. He doesn't like this direction.
Coprophilia.
What is worst day of school?
Worst day of school.
One time I wore like canvas pants, very light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I got an erection.
Mm. Okay.
And they were like, "Hey, Mr. Kinlan, come up here and put on the board 4 + 5."
I was talking to. I remember being at the bus talking to a girl who, like, we were young, but she had developed pretty young, and she had a big chest and all that.
And you just got a rager.
And I just had a rager, and I was like, "Oh man, this is like she can see the rager. Everybody can see the rager because it was like these were linen pants. Don't get me.
This is why you like dogs so much. You relate to the Red Rocket.
I
Jesus.
Do. It was not. But I guess that was like that sticks out. But it wasn't a horror show. It wasn't like
sticks out.
You get it. It wasn't a horror show. Don't act like you're not impressed.
Like a peep one.
You know what? Actually, I got called to the principal's office when my Paul, our friend,
of course.
And I were running for student council.
Yes.
And we used. I got called to the principal multiple times. And here's, so we were in a word processing. Class where we just use the printer to print out like very basic word, the way that you can manipulate the word to be wavy and stuff.
Yeah.
But it would just be nonsense. It would be
graphic design, as they call it in 2020.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wavy.
But it would be like nonsense, like condoms take away all the feeling.
Sure.
And then we'd print out like 100 of them.
Yep.
And just like drop them through the hallways.
Mm-hmm.
So there would just be there would just be 100 wavy condoms take away all the feeling. And we got in trouble for that. Mm-hmm. And then we also got in trouble we had very edgelord campaign signs for our student council.
Yeah. Great. I like that. Well, give me an example.
I don't know. I remember I got RIP to this young woman who has since passed on, but she got so mad. Because when we won student council,
yes,
or no, maybe it was when we were running. Yeah. I said that we were moving prom to a waste treatment facility, and some people are very literal.
Yes,
and she thought that that was like on my agenda, and then we got in trouble for that. We got in trouble a couple times.
All right, Tom, worst day of school.
Fuck.
Want me to vamp?
No, I'm trying to think. The bar exam was the worst experience.
No,
school
I don't do it.
Experience.
Did you do it in New York City or in Buffalo?
New York City.
Okay.
It took me twice to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
First time, it was in the Jacob Javits Center. There are 10,000 people that take the bar exam in New York State.
Yes.
I was in a room with 7,000 of them. Imagine the vibrations of 7,000 people. They very particularly tell you to wear rubber soled shoes.
Jesus.
Because you'll make noise. Some woman wore high heels had to walk to the bathroom.
Power move.
And I heard her walk for like 45 minutes.
She knows you're all competition.
Yeah. We smart move. A friend of the family was a proctor who happened to be a proctor in my section. Didn't really, he was like, he waved at me, didn't acknowledge me because he didn't want anything to look sketchy.
Yes. Right?
So later on, he runs into my sister and he goes, This doesn't involve me, but it's a funny story.
Yeah.
So he goes, so tell your brother I'm really sorry. I just didn't want it to look like sketchy that I was talking. Yeah. Like, no problem. We had this incident with this guy.
Mm.
Well, someone had a heart attack in my bar.
Fuck, band. Jesus Christ.
It's not worth it, everybody.
No.
Not worth it.
An older person, but still. So he's like, this guy kept going into the bathroom. So people were taking diarrhea. It's like fucking crazy.
Yes.
Like, they're mad. Like, you can't spare a minute. So you're like, I'm going to shit my pants. And yes. Rather than.
I've been told people, yeah, shit their pants
rather
at
than,
the bar.
Yeah. Because you're waiting
in line. It smells like shit.
It's insane.
Like, at this thing.
Yeah. So this guy keeps going back in. So they're like, all right, you know, I'm going to go in with him. This guy definitely has like he's posted something in there that he's like, he's got answers. He's got something. So they follow him, and they're like, all right, you know what? Like, we're going to have to void your scores. You're obviously, you have, like, some cheating mechanism in here. You know, he's like, no, when I get anxious, I masturbate.
Respect.
So he's like, I have to come in here and, like, jerk off before I, like, is. But he had been in there, like, six times.
Who can argue it?
Wow.
But, like, exactly. So you go, like, all right, show me.
Speak your truth.
Like, show me what you got. Like, what do you come and dust? Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they had to let him like continue to take the test.
Wow. Right on.
Imagine that. Like, what do you do?
But then the Ocean's 11 twist is that the answers were on his dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what the fucked up thing was? That was the last time people were allowed to use highlighters because someone got busted taking the national part. So there's a national part, and then mm-hmm. you take like your local bar exam, right? It's 2 days, 16 hours over the course of two days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you pass it, you're a fucking maniac and a genius.
Yes.
I would think, because it's crazy. New York is the second hardest one. California's
yes.
the hardest.
Yes.
So people were taking the national part that everyone takes and highlighting it, but they had special highlighters that were USBs. So they would highlight everything.
Wow.
Highlight the entire question. By the time they got home, people on the West Coast were taking it. They would upload it, and people would have the fucking questions beforehand.
Wow.
Okay, all right. Hold on. A question.
Danny Ocean.
How do you feel about cheating in baseball? It's related. I'll tell you why.
What
level?
The Astro stuff?
Like.
Well, like, take any drug you want.
Oh, okay.
I don't give a shit.
See, that one, for whatever reason, bothers me. We've talked about it. But, like, what about.
Stealing signs?
Stealing signs is a perfect example.
If somebody's at second and puts their hand on their inner thigh to let you know, like, hey, it's going to be a fastball,
yep.
Fuck it. Fine.
Agreed.
You can't do it. So, using technology? Nah, not with it.
Can we agree that cheating is a fundamental part of baseball in the same way
yes,
that.
Yes, a fundamental part of life.
That fighting is a fundamental part of
hockey. It's gaming. Yeah. It's gaming the game. What's
right.
What's my route to winning this game?
Okay. With that in mind, and I agree with you, with that in mind, that's how I see the bar exam. Being a lawyer is mm-hmm. part and parcel is
being
looking
a professional
for
liar.
Oh, what's the Star Trek question? There's a question in Star Trek where it's an unanswerable test at Starfleet, but that Kirk breaks the machine so he can win, and they're like, this is impossible. You must have cheated. And he's like, yeah. I did, and I won. I beat it. You don't know how. So it's
you went over.
Shout out to the one Star Trek fan who is yelling at the radio right now.
You went over the hedge maze.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So
that was definitely the worst day.
That's a bad day. Let's see. When I was in sixth grade at Latham Ridge Elementary School, there you go. We had a Mad Libs game, early internet. Where we entered in teachers' names and all curse words, printed it out at a friend's house. Shout out Matt Vaino.
Yeah. Ultimate respect.
Brought it in. Yeah, I bet so. Brought it into school, laughing with our friends. Laughing like piss laughing.
Sure,
like
yeah.
Dying laughing. Like curse words and teachers' names. Fantastic.
Mrs. Palante, dick.
Mrs. Palante has a big, hairy dick.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, it's got me laughing
fantastic.
Now.
I'm dying. It gets confiscated by Mrs. Washburn, a star in the second act.
And so what was next to her?
Oh, I mean,
Mrs.
who knows?
Mrs. Washburn.
Dildos.
Asshole.
And, yeah.
Asshole dildo.
Right, who knows, right? So she confiscates.
What a dick.
Fear for the next 3 days.
Mm.
Like, oh, shit, I'm going to get in trouble with my parents.
Yes.
I'm going to get in trouble with the teacher.
Then
who
you
knows?
Find out she loves it.
She's like, this parallels my fan fiction. Have you been seeing my GeoCities site?
Do you want to collab?
Yeah, we should talk. Never heard another peep about it. Never got in trouble. I bet we were like, oh my God.
I bet they passed it around the teacher's office.
Absolutely.
And just laughed.
Or maybe laughing. They didn't like her. Yeah. And they're like,
realized the nonsense of sixth graders was like pretty funny. Yeah. And we never have even talked about it to a single soul till right now. And then the other time in high school.
But Mrs. Washburn died of bad vibes.
You know what? She was a bad vibe.
Okay. Wow.
I'm just putting it out there. Like, I saw it, Miss Washburn. Maybe you've reformed, and yeah. Now you're in your 90s and you're better. Bless up.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code AXETOGRIND50, that's numeral 50, to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXETOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXETOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
Ever wonder what a punch from Elton John feels like?
Or how you'd cope with having turned down the chance to be in Nirvana?
Or what signal Keith Richards gives when he wants you to get the hell out of his hotel room?
Fans of Too Much Effing Perspective don't have to wonder, because they've heard these exact stories and a jillion others on our podcast. I'm Alex Hoffman, former tour manager for Radiohead.
And I'm musician and comedy writer Alan Keller. On the TMEP show, we get guests like Nancy Wilson from Heart, Jeremiah Frates from the Lumineers, and Modern Family's Julie Bowen to tell us things they may have only shared with their therapist, clergy, or a TMZ stringer.
So join us on Too Much Effing Perspective. That's EFFING Perspective. The only podcast you crank up to 11.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX, and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
In high school, maybe a sophomore, get called down to the vice principal's office. What's up, Mr. Wolfensberger? Hey,
Mr. Wolfersberger,
Wolfie, as everyone called him. Called down. Hey, this young lady claims that someone came up to her and attacked her in the hallway. Said they were like this description. I'm like, oh Jesus, I don't know. And they're like, do you know her? I'm like, I don't know her at all. Like, actually, I think I have friends who are friends with her.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I never met her at all. Okay, yeah. Well, actually, she said this person came up and like punched her in the face.
Jesus.
I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. Holy shit. Do you think, you know, and they're like, do you know anything else about it? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who it could have been. I mean, I don't know. And they're like, well, she said it was you by name. Wah, I'm like, what? Wah. By the way, it wasn't just the vice principal, but a police officer also. I'm like, oh, so police officers are there taking notes. I'm like, shit. But I also know that I did not punch this girl in the face.
Yeah, that's it.
And I'm like, yo, I definitely didn't do that. That's crazy. I've never met this person. That's really nuts. And they're like, all right, well, you know what? Go back to class. We'll probably be talking about this tomorrow with you, so we'll send someone down to the office for you. Nothing comes tonight. I tell my dad, who's like, you punch a girl in the face? I'm like, no. He's like, all right, well, don't worry about it. If anything happens, tell him to call me. Go to school the next day, kind of like, what the fuck? The police at my school. Nothing happens. Next day, nothing happens. Friday, they actually call me down. And they're like, hey, I want to apologize. Sorry about that. She didn't mean you. She meant this other guy, who a guy I was friends with. But he also didn't do it. She just was making it up. And she's actually now on leave, and she won't be in school for the next 2 weeks as a decision, and she's getting some help.
Wow. Okay.
So that was kind of fucked up.
Kind of stressful.
Yeah, pretty fucked up day. Bad day of school.
Kids struggle with mental health shit, man.
Yeah, at the time I was mad, but I never once went at her, nothing to say, nothing bad. Now looking back, I'm like, I feel bad for this person.
No, for
just
sure.
Striking
when
out,
somebody's,
you know,
fucking not doing well, it's so hard to stay mad. Go backwards for 1 second.
Yeah.
Help me out. We were talking about punching people in the face.
Yes.
Okay. But I had something very...
Wolfie. Vice principal, police officer, asking questions.
Yes.
Line of questions is kind of like obtuse, and they... Like, honestly, bravo performance to Wolfie, because he had me going, and hits me like...
And you did it.
End of the second act. Well, she said you did it.
Where's Wolfie now?
I think he passed, actually.
This fucking sucks.
So, shout out. He was Wolfenstein. a legend.
Yeah?
If he hasn't, somebody play this for him.
Okay.
Tell him to call me.
I'm out. I forgot what the fuck I was going to say.
All right. Next question. What's a movie you've seen more than 10 times?
Indiana Jones, Last Crusade, Apocalypto. 10 times. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. Mm. Adventures in Babysitting. What else? Can't Hardly Wait.
Mm-hmm. One.
Project X.
The new one?
New one.
Wow.
I love it more than anything in life.
Wow. I think that's true. Yeah.
What else? A lot.
Tom, you give us some.
Dark Knight, Can't Hardly Wait, Ocean's 11.
Ooh, okay. Yes.
Pretty good.
Probably Step Brothers.
Oh, good one.
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Mm.
I don't know. What else you got?
Groundhog's Day, Lord of the Rings, all three.
Wow.
Jesus.
Star Wars, all of them.
Yeah.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
10 times.
Yeah. I had years as an adult living by myself with no internet.
Yeah.
So VHS tapes were cool.
There you go.
What else? Ghostbusters
oh,
2.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Gremlins. Not Gremlins 2, but I should try for that.
Do the tenor on that.
Can't Hardly Wait for sure.
Scream.
10 Things I Hate About You.
That's a great one.
That one does not hit 10 for me.
There's some good ones from that era. Terminator 2, for sure.
Oh, Aliens, I've probably seen
Aliens. Shawshank Redemption, just because of cable. Like, shout out to cable TV. Do you think in 10 years people are going to understand what flipping channel, the like joy of sitting down, not, and being like, fuck productivity. I'm going to shut off and turn something on and just see what's on and start it halfway through.
I think in 10 years people are going to be machines. It doesn't matter.
Or the joy of going like, oh, sweet, this just started.
Yes. Sweet, this just started.
Oh, it just started. Yeah. Oh, all right.
Rewatchables, Bill Simmons podcast.
Shut up. What's one tour or band disagreement you feel bad or sad about in hindsight? No cop-out answers. Look.
Band decision?
Band or tour disagreement. Like a band argument, tour thing, something that you look back on. The first side of it is kind of like, is there anything you're like, you know what? I was being shitty, or I was in the wrong. But if you don't have that, what's one that you're like, oh, you know what?
We blew it.
Yeah, sad about this.
I got both.
You go for both.
Wow.
You think. Because I know you're just trying to spin a
I don't
story.
Know.
It's like everything
think
is great.
Of one, think of one that... Think.
During a decision, I was miserable towards the end.
Because,
I mean, like... No, you know what I mean? Like, we're playing in front of nobody. It sucked. Yeah. So, like, I kind of feel bad that, like, I wasn't always, like... We were pushing ourselves more than we needed to.
Uh-huh.
Because it felt like something we had to do, but...
Right. You weren't in a good space for it?
No, and it was like, fuck, man. Like, I just want to, like, go home. This shit sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to play in front of 12 people in fucking Idaho.
Right.
You
right.
know, we didn't play Idaho.
That was back when Boise was not on top.
No, but, like, we played, like, fucking, like, Great Falls, Montana.
Right. And no,
like, it was cool
there.
To say that.
Sure.
But like, who the fuck is coming to see anybody in Great Falls, Montana? Never mind us in Silent Majority on a fucking Tuesday.
How discouraging was that for you? Like, I mean,
incredibly
clearly,
discouraging.
Right.
Incredibly discouraging.
And it made something that, like, please stop me if you think this is too much. One of the great joys in your life that's 100%. Still a joy.
Yep.
A very tough time.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate stuff so much more now because it's like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a fucking pain in the balls. And, like,
but at the time, there was starting to be a chore aspect of this.
Yeah, just because it was like, and we weren't making, like, I would literally leave for tour with, like, my own money that I raised at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's what I lived off of. Like, yes. There was no, like, here's the
per, no per diem.
Taco Bell.
No, we're making money to bring home for rent.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was a downer. I get it. Things that we felt bad. I feel like we made a couple of label decisions that we probably, that we blew it.
Yeah.
Like, trying to be, like, too DIY, too punk, and we would probably be talking about a different band now. Than
yeah.
We, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Staying with Exit and Wreckage and yeah. Not, like, nobody knew those. No one got those records, whatever, when we had the big three
yeah.
Coming
looking
for
at
us,
you. Right.
You know, and, like, asking us. And I was being like, no, we're going to do this next record with Exit. Like,
it's an interesting thing to talk about, that loyalty of it.
Yeah.
And also the different register at that time, because you only knew your records weren't places because you actually went there
right,
and
right.
were feeling it and could see, like, oh, this isn't... Because now there's so much... It's such a different thing to see and feel that impact. Like, you still... I think you still feel it best when you go to a place and you're like, yo, nobody gives a fuck about
nobody
us here.
Us yet.
But you,
yeah.
There's no excuse of, like, hey, our records aren't out here. Our stuff isn't there. You know, like,
right.
It's so different than... Like, that changed radically from 1997 to, say, like, 2007, and then it's changed radically since then.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, I think about, like, oh, you know, Unorthodox on, like, Victory in 1997.
Yes.
Who the fuck would have known
it's
what
a very
happened?
Different thing.
You know what I mean?
Very
better recording,
story.
Just, like, more visibility, you know what I mean? We would have been going out with fucking Hatebreed and whoever the fuck else.
Okay.
Snapcase and, you know, and
yeah.
Is that us and Sound Majority or something? Oh, but bye, Webwing.
Are you ready? Do you have something?
Sort of. You're going to think it's lame. I just wish I could have paid better attention in college because I was always planning some fucking, like, 20-day tour.
Do you really think that? Do you really wish you had planned
there was
more
a There was a Bible as Literature course that
you
I
forget.
Totally zoned out. Yeah. Totally. And it's probably interesting as fuck, and I wish I had paid better attention.
I can empathize with some of that because I spent a lot of time not doing schoolwork.
Yeah.
Interesting classes. My South African literature class was fascinating.
That's what I'm saying. I paid a lot of money to go to the fucking school. Yeah. I should have paid better attention, but
you,
I was like...
You haven't paid that much.
No, I haven't paid them anything yet, but the...
Theoretically,
in principle,
yeah.
I owe them a lot. Let's put it like that.
That's
I owe them
true,
a lot.
Yes.
So I would have liked to have retained some of that knowledge.
Is there a band disagreement or argument that you wish you had sidestepped or changed the way it went down?
Probably end of a year, Michael Five, who played on the original end of a year stuff.
Yes, yeah. And a guy who's your friend, right? A buddy.
Not anymore. He hasn't talked to me in 20 years.
Right.
But he, always got on with him well.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Like a foundational member of end of year
until
signing with Rev.
Yeah.
You guys, he didn't play on the record. He was there up until signing.
I don't
he
know
might have played on the record.
He might have
anyways,
played on the record.
Yeah. All right.
So his wife got pregnant.
Yes.
And we were just about to gain a little bit of traction, and I thought we were going to be touring all the time.
Yeah.
And his wife remembers me saying something very insensitive about it. Now, as everybody in this vehicle knows, I'm not insensitive. So,
no. You know what? You were definitely not insensitive, but... indelicate, like not delicate, or could be misinterpreted.
Like not sensitive.
Yeah.
Oh, not sensitive, not insensitive.
Okay.
Probably
yeah.
more not sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
At any rate.
Anyways, yes.
I guess I mentioned to her early, like probably in front of him. I'm sure.
Like, hey, this band's gonna take off.
Can we
get, take care of that?
I wasn't that fucking insensitive.
Wow, that is pretty insensitive.
I just said, no, I was probably talking.
Can we do something? I'll pay for it.
I was probably talking about fucking getting fill-ins or whatever. And but think about, like, having a child is a huge fucking thing.
Yes.
And if somebody intones, they don't say it necessarily, but they intone that you're having a child is potentially limiting your partner's ability to do something that he really likes,
yeah,
then
they're going to feel it in the worst possible way.
Exactly. Yep. And
totally. Understandable, too.
Well, sort of. The truth of the matter is I didn't mean that shit. So, like, it's, you know. But look, a thing that we've talked about many times that we're all guilty of, everyone is,
mm-hmm.
is when you're in a hypersensitive place or you don't like somebody, you take them literally, whereas you are forgiving of everything they say when you are not in that space.
And you, yeah, and if...
But anyway.
You take them for the worst possible. It's Michael Five, shout out to Michael Five.
Shout out to Michael Five. This. But it's soured shit. He did like a revenge band and shit like that.
Oh, that's right, but whatever. I mean, yeah, I mean...
But I personally don't mind a revenge band. I think they're fun.
Yeah, I know. I think you should at least... Now, fucking 15 years later, I appreciate the spirit.
I appreciate it at the time. I love a revenge band. I think that's what hardcore is based on.
Worst argument you got on a tour. Just worst. And you don't have to get into the details of it, but the worst and, like, what happened.
Chris, the drummer for Drug Church, and I can get into it like fucking dogs.
Yeah.
I can see that. There's a bod.
He doesn't refer to me by my name if I'm not there. He just says, our singer. And people will go... Oof. We all know Patrick. What is wrong with you? And he'll be like, our singer. He's not my fucking friend.
They really personalized. They really enjoyed the activity today.
It was fun.
It was good. It was good. I thought it was you took it in good spirit. The right energy. None of them went for your throat.
No.
They could have gotten really vicious canids here. Matchbox 20 or the Smashing Pumpkins? Which band do you think you are personally more alike?
Is marching... I don't know.
No, this is just saying who you think you're more alike or in tune with. Matchbox 20 or Smashing Pumpkins?
Smashing Pumpkins.
So Smashing Pumpkins, more ambitious, but also more cringy.
Yeah.
Hard to say.
So why Smashing Pumpkins for you?
Billy Corgan's hard to get along with, too.
Okay. All right.
And you were saying Smashing Pumpkins?
No, I'm saying, Matchbox 20 because I'm easy to get along with.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
Because you want to push, they want to push you around.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good.
Are you gonna break off? So it was like Drug Church. You're smooth as Santana.
Yeah, exactly. I'm waiting for my Santana to arrive.
That should be your pure. Once this next record goes big,
yep.
Pure Noise. We need that Santana guest for LP3 on Pure Noise.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. All right. Which of the Instagram story forehead things do you like the most?
Oh, I don't.
You've done some.
No.
No, you've done none.
I don't know how to get them because they don't seem to
have. So you got
to
click on. So anybody out there, Instagram story forehead thing, you click on it and it says try it or save it. You can save it and do it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
But if you click try it, you can just do it right then.
I do that with other filters, but for whatever reason, it doesn't. I don't see that option on those. Anyway, the point is, I don't find them particularly. Like, Who's waiting till the end?
Oh, look, I'm an Applebee's.
Yeah.
if it's yo, here's the thing. You know who, if you find them to be an attractive or nice person,
yes,
you wait till the end.
You look at their face.
Of course. And, you see their reaction.
And that's what it's for. It's another way of taking a fucking selfie.
That's exactly right.
There's one, Tom, I want to send to you that is, I think it's a corporate one, but it puts a full football helmet on you and it looks fucking cool.
That's I'm going to go for cool. The Revelation one that Jay Reason made.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jay Reason. Yeah. He did one. Yeah. All right.
Jesus, he's a Renaissance man.
He literally created one that was like, which Rev record are you?
Oh, let's shout out his label.
Yes.
Did the Husbandry LP.
Yes.
Everybody should go out and get that. He has been a supporter of Extra Grind from the very, very beginning. Husbandry, a band you've big upped.
Yeah.
And I think on their last full length, they delivered on a sound that is very unique, but also I think it's the sound they've been looking for. They've been wanting to do.
So we big up a lot of stuff on this podcast, and we're always happy for when it gets some momentum, maybe in some small part due to us.
Yeah.
Husbandry is fun for me to big up because I don't assume that our listeners will necessarily connect with it. And then when a number of them do, I find that very exciting. Because there was a number of listeners that really were introduced to that band through us, and that's a great feeling because it's not a hardcore band. You know what I mean?
No.
So it's like, it's just a thing that I think that is adjacent.
Could appreciate.
Those dudes are, the one dude's from Queens, he's a fucking Leeway guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows his shit.
Right.
Like, so I like when, is this guy going to jump in front of the train?
No, he's watching.
That'd
he's
be
enjoying
a weird
it.
Day.
That's going to be the worst day of Extra Grind if this guy jumps in front of a train. Just so you guys know, we're recording this as we look out on a train track, and this guy is getting dangerously close.
He's going for it.
He's been walking back and forth, too.
Okay,
am I going to watch a guy get hit by a fucking train?
I just honked it for him.
No.
Here's he looked when I honked.
Yeah, I'm kind of. Right. I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion.
He's coming from south to north.
You got to let him do what he does.
All right. Nope. He's good.
Yeah, he made it.
He's just looking.
I think just be a training guy.
We just say we saved a life today, guys. How to save a life. All right.
Holy fuck, I really thought that dude was going to fucking...
I think it was close.
No, I think he's kind of...
Okay.
Yeah, he's sure. An autistic guy that likes trains.
Yes. Yeah.
I like trains, too.
Yes.
How long would it take you to be a decent tattoo artist?
Did we just skip a question?
No.
Oh, no, Static Era Records. That's what we were talking about.
Oh, Static Era Records.
Big ups to Jay. Yeah. He's putting out a Cruel Hand record.
Yeah.
Put out the Husbandry on vinyl.
We are going to do an episode soon where we talk about the rise of small labels. There's a bunch of new labels coming up, and I'm excited for it. I'm getting a bunch of info. If you are a small label and you'd like us to talk about you, send me what you've got going on in 2020, and we'll get there.
That's a good thing.
And a $20 thing in an envelope.
So quick note about Jay Reason. We should say what his history is. Jay played in what?
The Distance.
The Distance.
Voice of Reason.
But he was also instrumental in Jamie's label.
Stillborn.
Jay has been around a long time and is very knowledgeable.
And he works for like a major, like he's a fucking smart dude.
Shout out to also his youthful vigor.
Hold on, we're going to do this bit again just because I have to be polite.
Frank Kinlan.
Nice.
An inmate at New York State Department of Corrections and Community
Pickett,
Supervision.
Sienna.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring. To accept charges, press 1. To refute, thank you for using Securus. You may start the conversation now.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah, what's up, Bill?
You're on a podcast right now. I'm sorry, I can't stop. Do you have any strong opinions on Jalen Pickett?
Jalen Pickett? No, not really.
So, are you excited to come back right in time to catch the Patroons as well?
Jalen Pickett's a nice player, by the way.
Doing real good.
He really is. He really is a nice player. He's special.
He's going to go pro.
I think the kid can play. He really can.
Okay, so are you excited for Siena basketball? Are you excited for Patroons basketball?
No, I love
what are you excited
Siena,
about?
You know,
what are you excited about?
No, I love Siena basketball, and I'm so pleased they're winning. They're on a winning streak at home. They can't lose at home.
On the Mac.
Who's the coach?
Carmen is a. In fact, Carmen is a good friend of Timmy's.
Oh no shit! Same age?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're great friends. Yeah.
All right. You sound medicated. Are you all right?
Medicated? No, I'm not medicated. I got a cold.
Oh, all right.
Medicated? No. I'm never medicated, that's for sure.
Straight and alert. Dad, I'm sorry, I got to finish up this podcast, but is everything good with you?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just checking in. Where are you?
I'm in Sayreville, New Jersey.
Belmar, New Jersey.
Belmar.
Okay. Where is it?
Belmar. It's like on the Jersey Shore. Have you ever been?
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Anthony's daughter, Kathy, lives in a wealthy part of that, right on the shore. Oh, God, what's the name of it?
Deal?
Something by the sea.
Avon by the sea.
Is it Avon by the sea?
You got it.
That's where the rich live.
Yeah, that's where Kathy lives.
All right. Well, I'll look her up. Dad, I'll speak to you soon. All right.
All right, pal. Take it easy.
All right. That's my old ass dad.
Good for him. Second appearance on the show. Maybe third.
Maybe third.
Good
yeah.
for him.
The most frequent guest.
Yeah, he's getting there. All right. This is a two-part question, but two different questions. How long, you know, tattoo artists, they have to learn how to. How long would it take you to be a decent tattoo artist?
5 years minimum.
I'll probably say 10. I have no artistic talent.
Okay. 10 years sitting there. How long would it take for you to be a great barista?
An eternity, as I find it boring.
6 months.
Yeah, I think I could do it in 3. Tattoo artist, probably 3 years. A little bit artistic, but I'd need to do it daily. Like, okay, like I work at the shitty tattoo shop.
Yeah, yeah,
like really bad, yeah. Really bad. What's the last truly great meal you've eaten?
Truly great. It's tough.
Truly great.
I had a great sandwich on this tour.
Where?
Shockingly enough, at a Whole Foods, where the guy just put a little extra love into it, and it really went a long way.
Magic is what you make it.
That's a fact. I'm trying to think of a great meal.
Tom?
I'm trying to think.
I know.
It's tough. Dallas Casey recommended this place. Thank goodness it's vegan.
Okay.
In Chester, New York, and that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, very good. I don't know. It's been a long time on the Truly Great. When I'm in California, I'm very happy to eat food. I get just excited because it's stuff I'm familiar with, but I haven't had it in so long. So, like, whenever I eat a Taco Loco, usually it's like 10 o'clock at night. It is pleasant to be outside, and I'm so happy to be eating what I'm eating. It's usually a truly great meal. Same thing with Secret Spot in Huntington Beach.
Oh, I had the Subway vegan meatballs.
Feels like you just kicked me in the chest. Ugh.
Walking in there felt like I got kicked in the fucking nose.
When's the last time you ate at a Subway, Tom?
This is my first time in 9 years minimum.
You know what? I was in a town called Beatty, Nevada.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right
yeah.
outside of...
you told the story with Rachel, and yes. She said the thing, he's not with us.
Yes, right? Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's, yeah.
I haven't eaten... I wouldn't probably... Workplace proximity is a devil to what you eat, and I ate at a Subway probably 7 years ago and haven't since.
No, once they were saying, like, the bread is made out of the same stuff as yoga mats, I was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
The smell, I'm out.
Yeah.
Smell sounds, I don't know. Smells all right.
Oh, it sticks to my clothes. I hate it.
What's the last magical show experience you've had?
I played a really great show in Toronto. It was really fun. It was really, really fun.
Have you been positive about Toronto before?
London, Ontario, right? So sure. Right outside.
That's
had a great show there. That was the show where the dude, him and his very beautiful girlfriend show up. He's a muscle guy. Looks like he does MMA or some bullshit. I don't want to out him. He's
trying to get a menage with you? Or
what? No. It just looked like maybe him and his friends. It was a party atmosphere.
Great.
Let me put it like that.
Okay, perfect. Well put.
And then he lifts up his shirt to expose a hate breed scene on his giant back.
Okay.
So it's a back piece of hate breed performing with a pit.
What era hate breed?
If I had to guess, post Perseverance.
Like Sean Martin's still in it?
I did not recognize Sean Martin. I didn't see him on the man's back.
All right.
Tom.
Playing or going?
Either.
I'm going to say going. Quite honestly, and I mean, not just because you're here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first fucking 30 seconds I have heart at Worcester. Was one of the most insane, incredible, things I'd ever seen in my entire life. It was just, it was magical. It was just like, holy fuck, I can't believe. And as a band I had seen 30 times before, it wasn't like, I can't believe I'm seeing like Judge.
Yeah, no.
This was like, I love this band, but like I've seen them 1,000 times.
But this felt different.
The lights popping on, them fucking doing the machinist. I was like, this is fucking incredible.
Mm. Yeah, that was a perfect, really good one. That was really good, actually.
How about you?
Those Have Heart shows were pretty magical. You know what? The Anxious record release show in Connecticut. They played, and it was like a year since I had first seen them, little under. And they had grown so much, and it changed, and they owned the show. And it was a room full of people who were really excited about it, and they just... It had that magic feeling. And here's the deal. The other stuff, like Fiddlehead is a very great band, great live. They stole... They played before Fiddlehead. It was their record release show, so it kind of was their show, but they stole that kind of energy, and it was like kind of the only time I've ever seen it. Like, I compare it to I saw Cro-Mags and Underdog play Seabees in 2005. Is it Cro-Mags and
Killing
Underdog?
Killing Time headlined. Right.
And Underdog
smoked them,
and that's why I make that comparison, because I was always like, yo, I saw the Cro-Mags at Seabees, and they were like the best band I ever saw at Seabees. Except maybe Underdog that night.
That was
maybe
fucking believable.
Like, I saw Burn one time own CBs. Yep. I saw the Cro-Mags own CBs several times.
Yeah.
And seeing Underdog that night, like,
there was
it
something
was just
about that.
Perfect. That was a magic experience. So that's a few. So yeah, any you guys got any questions? Anything to throw out there?
I think I'm too short on time to probe right now.
All right, well, thank you,
well,
everybody.
Do this again, though. This is fun.
This is a fun one. We'll do
this
it. Getting
dark.
To know you. There was a couple.
Did it get dark?
It got dark in literally and a couple darker
literally
moments.
Figuratively.
All right.
See you soon.
Peace.
Bye. Welcome to Live on Axe to Grind. My name's Bob, and joining us today is
Antonio from Spine
and the band Spine. How's it going, guys?
Great.
All right. Going so we have not a grievous error, but we said that your band was from St. Louis.
That's correct.
And you are actually from
Kansas City.
I apologize.
That's all right.
On behalf of myself, from Thomas and Patrick, we apologize. Yo, I love Kansas City. I've talked about it with you guys a few times. What is the worst part about living in Kansas City?
Probably just like how harsh the winters can be. So we were kind of in that area. We get a lot of ice, we'll get some snow, and it'd just be really cold and very depressing come middle of December till sometimes into late March. Yeah. That's really the only downside. Everything else fucking kicks ass.
Is that when you guys write your music? Is the through the winter? Like, it's like,
you know,
fuck.
Honestly, the one record we did do in the winter was Deny, right? We do that one. So that's probably like our,
That's the dour. That's the down record.
That's the down record. Yeah. So, that's typically like the time that we're kind of like hold up, especially me. Like, I just am usually writing a lot. There's not a lot of stuff to do. So yeah, for sure.
So we were talking before, and I thought this was a cool conversation. First, we'll start with this and then go more serious, and then we'll get back to fun.
For sure.
What is the biggest difference between Kansas City and St. Louis?
Honestly, there's not a ton of difference at this point. I will say, though, that St. Louis has a lot more. I think they've got a lot more younger kids that are involved with the scene. They've got a lot of bands that are trying to pop up and trying to make a name for themselves. They're really hustling right now. I'd say Kansas City is we've got some younger kids, but it's mostly like, I'd say 25 plus,
right,
24 plus people that are involved, which is great. But we just don't have a ton of younger kids that are coming out and starting bands and doing shows and all that stuff. I feel like St. Louis does have that right now.
So what are we going to do? We got to fix that, because that's not just a problem in Kansas City. It's a problem everywhere.
Well, you had a really good idea about possibly just doing shows where anybody under 21 gets in for free. Yeah,
yeah,
so
I think,
like,
that's a move.
That would be cool. It'd give the opportunity for some younger kids to kind of come out, no strings attached, don't have to buy anything.
Right, just
but
come
just
check
come
it
experience
out.
See if they like it, see if it's for them, you know. So that's a cool concept. I like it.
When did you first start going to shows? What age?
Fuck, I started going to shows when I was 12 years old.
Right. Yeah.
So that was a long time ago. I think one of my first shows I went to was in 2000, maybe 2001. One of the first ones I can remember was Warped Tour 2001.
Right, right. Yeah. And like, that's like, for me, it was 14, 15. I started going to shows. I started going to hardcore shows. What's not to like when you're that age? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially when it comes to punk and hardcore, it's like, you know, fuck your parents, fuck school, like fuck all this shit. Like, I don't want to be fucking part of this at all. You know, right. I want to do something different. You know, like, I was kind of caught in like a real big, weird area. Cause like, I liked sports and I played sports. So
you're a big dude.
I played sports and I was part of that side of it, but I hated all the other bullshit that came with it, you know? So I just hated that idea of just being put in a box. I think when you're like 12, 13 years old, trying to like figure shit out, you know, you just kind of like, you want to test those limits, you know, see how far you can go.
Yo, I mean, yeah, how far I can go. Chromex, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I think that because, you know, you had a space in sports, but I think it's universal that you don't feel it. And I think that's not something that's changed in the years, you know, since you were a child that I was a child. All right. What is your big food recommendation for someone coming to the city of Kansas City?
I think if you've never been there, I think you're going to have barbecue. And I think your first place to go to would be Arthur Bryant's. I think they do the best of like an overall, you know, I wouldn't say they have the best ribs. I wouldn't say they have the best burnt ends, but they've got a good mix of everything. And I think if you're just going to go try it out, I think you got to go to that spot. AB's is the best.
AB's is the best. This is Spine.
We'll be right back. I don't want to start any blasphemous rumors, but I think that guy's got a sixth sense of humor.